Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And tomorrow, 37th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade, of course, a 1973 decision. And I thought on the eve of that anniversary, we should take an Old Testament history lesson to heart. For hundreds of years, the Lord warned the Israelites through his prophets. And then all of a sudden, it was too late. Darkness descended upon the promised land. The people of Israel had become slaves to the mighty Assyrians. Although the tribe of Judah to the south had miraculously survived the initial onslaught, somehow they blithely managed to ignore the lesson of history. 2 Kings tells us that Ahaz, king of Judah, walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and that he even sacrificed his own son in the fire. In other words, he followed the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. The nation of Israel had become a mere reflection of the pagan culture that surrounded it. True prophets continued to warn God's people that their wickedness would inexorably lead to destruction. But the words simply fell on deaf ears. The rulers of the land had become so corrupt that they even hired false prophets to tell them what their itching ears wanted to hear. Of course, the inevitable finally occurred. The axe of God's judgment fell. Babylon leveled Jerusalem, and the people of Judah were driven from their land of promise. What that has to do with us today, I think, is poignant and profound, because like ancient Israel, we're turning a deaf ear to the lesson of history. We have repeatedly violated God's commands as if we could do so with impunity. We have failed to heed the warnings of his prophets. We have embraced the new paganism of our times. Our ways have become detestable to the Lord, and we have forgotten his commands. Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer warned us that abortion would be the watershed issue of our era. He said, of all the subjects relating to the erosion of the sanctity of human life, abortion was the keystone. It is the first crucial issue that has been overwhelming in changing attitudes towards the value of life in general. Schaeffer's warnings have tragically fallen on deaf ears. For more than two decades, we have sacrificed our children on the altars of hedonism. And even now, the axe of God's judgment has been laid to the root. 2,000 years ago, Christ warned us that the time would come when you would say, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, the breasts that never nursed. Well, the present-day abortion holocaust has driven those words home in dramatic fashion. Perhaps most frightening of all, as you ponder this horrifying reality, is the fact that the present-day Holocaust is government-funded. In other words, you and I are footing the bill. Make no mistake, choice advocates like the Congress and the courts are not the friends of children. America's unthinking submission to their twisted argumentation is moving us progressively towards social genocide of an unfathomable magnitude. And the movement's own label, pro-choice, is, well, it's nothing but a twisted deception covering up a nationally sanctioned Holocaust in which the right to choose to kill a child reigns supreme over the baby's human rights, the rights of the parents of a pregnant minor, the rights of the baby's father, the woman's right to accurate information about fetal development and the negative consequences of an abortion, the rights of society to protect all of its members no matter what their social status, what their economic situation, or what their physical limitations. And those who continue to fight legislation restricting abortion are in reality not pro-choice. Rather, they are singularly pro-murder. The rhetoric serves to camouflage the carnage, but abortion is the painful killing of innocent human beings. Well, what does that have to do with you? What I would say is that we need today not to be microcosms of the culture, but change agents in the culture. On the one hand, we need to be involved in the legislative process, but we need to ultimately recognize that if you want to change the culture, you have to be a change agent, a tool in the hands of God of changing the hearts of people, because abortion at the end of the day may not be the real problem. It may simply be the cover-up exercise. The real problem is promiscuity and the sexual revolution. And the only way that changes is for you to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and to be able to do that with gentleness and with respect. That's why we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute, and it's why we ask you to join us in a stand for truth, to do what you do because truth matters. Today, if you want to join a ministry making a difference in changing the hearts of people not only here but abroad, pray for this ministry and support this ministry financially. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org, E-Q-U-I-P, and via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or through our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. One thing I will guarantee you, I will never pull punches. I'm going to tell it like it is, no matter what the cost. A lot of you hanging on. First up, Mikkel, listening in Colorado. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
It's not going to pertain to what you just talked about, which was really interesting, by the way. I have been asked to research this church, and of course I'm not learned enough to be able to talk about what I just read on the internet. It is called Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, mm-hmm. The Bethel Church in Redding, California.
Yeah, familiar with it.
Oh, good, because it sounds and looks good, but it doesn't feel good.
Well, that's discernment.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, it's promising what it cannot perform. It's promising on the basis of Scripture that healing is the birthright of the believer, and that's simply not true. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Death, mourning, crying, pain are the order of this world because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
And we look forward to a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, in which God dwells with us, and the promise of Revelation 21 that then there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. In the meantime, the death rate is still one per person, and every one of us is going to make it. So God never promises us a birthright of healing. He never promises us a panacea. He promises us peace in the midst of life's storms, and he promises us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Right, okay. Yeah, this is very unclear. I've tried to read through all of this. It was very unclear that they even teach what you just said.
Well, they do, and they also believe in the restoration of apostles and prophets who can perform signs and wonders as a lifestyle.
Yeah, I read the signs and wonders, and I went, oh, no.
And then they endorse some of the most outrageously false teachers of this or any other generation.
Okay.
So it's not a ministry that I would recommend in any sense.
Okay, because I have a friend that was going to send her child there, and I'm going, oh, whoa, I think we need to research this.
Yeah.
All right. I really appreciate it, Dr. Hanegraaff, and God bless you for your ministry.
Well, thank you. Good talking to you. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Beth. She's listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi.
Hi.
I was recommended to read a book by Bill Gillum of Lifetime Guarantee Ministries. Are you familiar with him?
Vaguely.
Okay. A verse that was quoted by him was Romans 6:6, and he used that to say that when Christ died on the cross, our sinful nature died, so it's no longer our sinful nature that we actually fight, but rather it's sin itself, and I was wondering if that is accurate. It doesn't seem to me to be. If I read further in Romans 6, that doesn't seem to follow, but...
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct to be suspicious of that kind of teaching. Paul does say, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. And it is true that we are positionally accounted as righteous before God. But to take that text out of context, to make a pretext out of it, is unfortunate, because Paul goes on to say, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who does it, but the sin living in me that does it. That is not a statement that is meant to escape moral responsibility, but a statement regarding the powerful lure of sin. We continue on with a sin nature. We are positionally declared righteous before God. Practically, we are yet sinners, and we will only be practically not sinners when we're glorified. And that's after Jesus Christ returns. In the meantime, we're being sanctified, which means that we're being daily conformed to the image of Christ. But we are yet those who have a sin nature.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. And we've written about that in various places. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Laura. She's in Illinois. Hi, Laura. Hi, Laura. Are you there, Laura?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. We know God heals by prayer, and he gives gifts of healing to men. Why do we need men if God already heals through prayer? Why do we need the men?
Well, God has chosen to use people as the instruments of his grace. We know that God offers salvation to humankind. But God has also determined that there would be human agency. So he uses people as those who propagate the gospel. Now, God can certainly reach someone apart from human agency, but he has designed to use us as tools in his hands in the process of reaching people for time and for eternity.
Wonderful, wonderful. It sounds good.
Yeah, so God doesn't need to use this, but he has condescended to use this.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I want to remind everybody listening in that you can get your call answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast Monday through Friday. when you dial this number, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. You can always access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And we have lines open even now where you can talk to resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Also want to remind you of the Legacy Study Bible. Right now, we have a special offer on the Legacy Study Bible, two laminated place markers, a personalized leather-bound edition of the Legacy Study Bible, and a companion booklet that shows you step-by-step how to read and study the Bible for all it's worth. This is a special offer for $250 or more. Again, a personalized copy. You can check it out on the World Wide Web. We'll be right back with more.
We are pleased to bring to your attention a different way for us to be involved together. CRI is able and, in fact, eager to offer charitable gift annuities as a way of partnering with our ministry. Charitable gift annuities have been an important tool in the nonprofit community for over 170 years. For the right person, they can enhance your retirement income, reduce taxes, and at the same time create a gift to the Christian Research Institute at your death. The charitable gift annuity offers very attractive interest rates depending upon your age. To learn more, visit us at www.equip.org and click on Donate Now and then Planned Giving. From there, if you'd like more personalized assistance, just submit a contact form and we'll be in touch with you. Don't go away. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
We are engaged in a war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles, but it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice, you will be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of biblical prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available individually or for a special package price. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. 2010 marks the 50th anniversary of the Christian Research Institute. As we look forward to the future, however, biblical illiteracy continues to be the problem in our culture. Thus, the Christian Research Institute has decided to tackle the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration. But we need you to join us in the adventure. This month, we'd like to begin with the main and plain thing, read your Bible. That is why we have specially designed place markers with Hank's personal approach to reading the Bible in a year. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute, you'll receive two place markers so you can partner with a family member or friend as you follow Hank's personal approach to reading through the Bible. To make a difference with your gift and start your journey, go online to equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And back to your questions. Elwood is next, listening on Bot Radio in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Elwood.
Hello. I was listening the other night, I think it was a couple nights back, or approximately at least. Jack Graham stated something about the book of Esther having no mention of, I think he said, the Lord God. Now, that might not be exact, but... I have a copy of the, and it's my favorite Bible, the 1611 King James. And anyhow, Esther stops in the modern, not new, but modern King James Version. And it stops at chapter 10, verse 3, and in the Apocrypha part of the 1611, there's a book called The Rest of Esther, and it starts with chapter 10, verse 4, and it goes on to end with chapter 16, what is it, verse 24. Anyhow, the Lord God, and there's many ways, Lord God of Abraham, O thou mighty God above all, those are mentioned in almost all of these chapters that have been removed from the modern version of the King James Version. So I was wondering if you might be able to tell me why.
Yeah, I sure can. And by the way, Jack Graham is right, as he usually is. He's absolutely correct in what he said. The one thing that he was probably pointing out, as he has done elsewhere, is that you certainly have God in the book of Esther, because what you have is the nations looking on and saying how God, the sovereign God of Israel, raises up Esther to sovereignly save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman.
Is that in one of the earlier chapters?
No, I'm just saying that's the overall tenor of the book. And because of that, many different people from many different nations become Jews. In other words, they become followers of Yahweh, the God of Israel, through types and shadows that ultimately point to Jesus Christ. But as far as your specific question is concerned, let's, for the listening audience, point out that the Apocrypha adds seven books to the Old Testament canon. You have
seven
the wisdom. Beg pardon?
Seven chapters, you mean?
No, seven books. The Apocrypha adds seven books to the Old Testament canon.
Books, actually.
Yeah, no, it adds the Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, Tobit, Judith, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and Baruch. And then there are some additional writings that are also added, as you point out, to Esther and to Daniel, Susanna, and Bel and the Dragon.
And another one of the girls would like to know that.
And Protestants hold that the Apocrypha fails the test of canonicity and thus is not part and parcel.
I see. So there are seven that are canonized that are actually removed?
Well, they're not removed. They don't consider those part of the canon to start with. The canon means a measuring rod or a rule, and there are certain principles by which we discover what God has determined to be part of the canon. And these particular writings failed that test of canonicity, and that's why they're not included. And I would also say something else. We need to be really careful with the language that we use, because many people will take the King James Version of the Bible, particularly the older versions of the King James, and make that an autographa, as though it came down from heaven hot off the plates, and that's simply not the case. The King James Version, which was commissioned in 1604 and completed in 1611, is a great translation of the Bible, but it's not an autographa. It's a translation of the Bible.
That's 1604 to 11?
It was actually commissioned by James the First in 1604, and it was completed in 1611.
Okay, so and in 1611, in the making.
And in 1611, there were many different versions, at least three that I know of.
Right, and those are in the front of this Bible. I mean, a lot of them at least are.
Yeah. So basically what you have to look at when you look at translations of the Bible is the actual manuscript evidence on which they're based. And the newer translations have many more manuscripts to go on, and therefore they're far more reliable than the older versions of the Bible. Now, when I say far more reliable, I'm not talking about any difference in substance. I'm only talking about differences in style and spelling. And we've learned something about the biblical languages in the meantime, and therefore we have more precise definitions of words and the like. So the manuscript evidence has helped a tremendous amount in terms of coming up with good, credible translations in the present. But again, if someone wants to read an old translation of the King James Version, all the more power to you. There's no difference in substance, only differences in style. And as Christians, and this is another important point to make, and I got to leave it at that, is we do not claim infallibility for the translations. We claim infallibility for the autographa, the autographs, the originals. And we are saying that because there are so many manuscripts, we can come to a very good understanding of what the original contained. If you have lots of manuscripts, those manuscripts can be tested once against the other, and you can come up with the original. Because the manuscripts all have errors, but they don't have the same errors. So through what's called the science of the bibliographic test, you can get back to a good facsimile of the autographa. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Sherry. She's listening on Bot Radio in Kansas. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
How are
you? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay, Hank. I have about, it's a two-part question. You hear so much about, when I, you know, I was raised in the church and I heard that when you die, you will, as Christ comes back, be restored to this brand new body. And I don't understand, because when Christ was risen from the dead, he had scars. That's how he proved to Thomas that, you know, it was him, was because he had those scars. It wasn't brand new.
Well, bravo. You're absolutely right. That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you caught that, because people who say that you get a brand new body are overstating the case. What you get is this body transformed. That's what the promise is. In other words, it's not an altogether other body. It is this body transformed, which is to say, Sherry, that the DNA that makes you you now is the DNA that will make you you for all eternity, but that DNA will flourish in a perfectly pristine universe in which there's no death, mourning, crying, or pain, which is to say you will flower to what you would have been had sin never entered the world.
Oh, that is wonderful. That just pretty much almost answers the second question. I had a grandson that passed away at 3 months of age a year and a half ago, and he was only 3 months old, and I just kind of wondered, you know, when I see him, you know, will he be a man? Will he still be a baby? Will he be okay physically?
Yeah, he will be perfect physically, and he has a DNA, and that DNA will flower to complete perfection. You can sort of imagine a rose that is a bud and then flowers to complete perfection. In this particular case, however, you don't have the devolution in which the flower eventually withers and dies. You only have it developing to its full potential. That's what our glorified bodies will do. Because there's no such thing as the second law of thermodynamics. You know, things don't inevitably run downhill. Right. So what happens, and I think you have actually caught this in the prologue to your question, is that we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's not as though we get an altogether different body, but this body is changed. And that's what the Apostle Paul says in that great and epic chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. So we're going to be transformed, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
That is wonderful. I am so glad I got a chance to talk with you about that. I really kind of wondered for over a year, so thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Joanna, listening in Kansas. Hi.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
I'm doing great. In the previous phone call, a lady asked you about sending someone to a particular school, and they were teaching healing and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe, like you do, that there are no real promises like that. You know we're going to have trouble in this life. How then do we as Christians, or are we misusing the scripture, by his stripes we are healed?
Well, it is misused over and over again, and it is wonderfully true that Isaiah says he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Now, contrary to the Word of Faith movement, the word in the Hebrew is rapha, and more often than not, it refers to spiritual as opposed to physical healing. So when the prophet Jeremiah says, return, O faithless sons, and I will rapha your faithlessness, or heal your faithlessness, he's obviously not referring to physical healing. And Isaiah could hardly make it clearer that he has spiritual healing in mind when he communicates that Messiah, or Christ, was to be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. And then if you want proof positive of this, look at Peter. He builds on our understanding by writing, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his stripes you have been healed. So obviously it could not be stated any more clear. He says that Christ bore our sins, not our sicknesses, and as such makes it plain that the healing referred to in Isaiah 53:5 is spiritual, not physical. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written on this in detail in my book, Christianity Crisis 21st Century, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and we'll be right back with more of your questions.
Saturday, January 23rd is Yoga Day USA. As you would expect from the Christian Research Institute, we've carefully researched the immensely popular yoga movement, culminating in a three-part series on the history and practice of yoga in the West, along with a discerning analysis from a Christian perspective. This and other related resources are available through the Christian Research Institute by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Or by going online to equip.org. That's equip.org. But don't touch that dial. We'll return with more of the show in just a moment.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. Glenna next, listening in Kansas. Hi, Glenna.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Great. I have a comment about yesterday's show, and a guy was called in about kinesiology.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it all the time, and they have found most interesting things and have cured a lot of things with me through kinesiology testing. And I just want to say that lots of things maybe aren't scientifically proved, but sometimes they work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get that out to you, and so that, you know, that maybe you could maybe try it sometime. I mean, it really is amazing.
Well, I have some really good friends that have tried this on me, and I have just enormous respect for them.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, I certainly take what they say seriously,
mm-hmm.
and I would just respectfully disagree.
Okay.
But I would do it agreeably. And remember, I did make a qualification, and I don't think this has a lot to do with the call that you're making right now, but applied kinesiology is not the same thing as kinesiology, which is a legitimate scientific study of movement or biomechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of applied kinesiology, my sense is exactly what you allude to. I don't think it fares very well under controlled, well-designed scientific tests. You evidently do think that even though it may not fare well in that particular forum, that it still has validity, and I certainly respect your opinion.
Well, this, like other things, lots of things don't work scientifically anymore. I mean, evolution is supposed to be scientific. We know that's a bunch of hooey, pretty much, because God created everything.
But that's just the point. Evolution is not scientific. Evolution flies in the face of science.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to make a comment on that I know it works, that it does create a healing. To find out what's wrong with a person, and that I just do use it, and it just kind of made me think yesterday, like, oh my gosh, maybe they don't, you know, haven't tried it or something, because it just works, and I know it works on several people. So,
well, Glenna, thanks for calling and voicing your opinion in such a winsome manner. God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Emmanuel. He's listening in. Boy, we're getting a lot of Kansas City callers in Kansas City. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Hank. I was calling because last time.
Whoa, you are fading in and out. You still there? I can't hear you. Hang on, Emmanuel. Maybe we can get to you and get a good signal. Sounds like you're on a cell phone. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Heidi next. She's listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Heidi.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to a church that believes sin, sickness, disease, and poverty were under the curse.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as Christians are no longer under the curse, so it's always God's will to heal us. So I wondered if you could just comment on that for me.
Well, it's wrong-headed thinking. It is true that we live in a cursed creation, and that curse is not going to be removed until Christ returns. And then we have the promise, and you can see this in passages like Revelation 21, in which there'll be a new order of things. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, but the old order of things will pass away. All things will become new. And if you want to look at great saints who suffered, you need only go to the Old Testament and see Job, who is affirmed by Scripture as a great man of faith, and yet he suffered. The great apostle Paul confessed to the Galatians that because of a bodily illness, he preached the gospel to them for the first time. Timothy, who is Paul's son in the faith, suffered from frequent stomach problems, and instead of telling him to positively confess his healing, Paul gave him some practical advice and said, stop drinking only water and use a little wine. Elisha was blessed with a double portion anointing and yet suffered and died a sick man. And there are so many other biblical examples that could be cited. Paul left Trophimus sick in Miletus, I believe it was, and Epaphroditus fell ill and nearly died. King Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And you have to wonder whether faith teachers in their more candid moments have to confess to themselves that they too have experienced the ravages of sickness and disease. In the end, the one thing that they all do is they all are stung by the ultimate sickness. They're all stung by death. Even Kenneth Hagin, who once claimed that he had never been sick, died in a cardiac intensive care unit. So I think it's disingenuous to believe that somehow or other we are saved from the curse. No, whether you are a great saint like Paul or Timothy or an average saint, we all suffer sickness and eventually we all die. The death rate is one per person. We're all going to make it. What we're hoping for, what we're believing in, what we're trusting in is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. Bye for now.
And Heidi's call reminds me of a letter that I just received. I want to read that letter to you because it's related to the call. Here's a caller who writes, I called and identified myself as both Reformed and Charismatic, attending an Assemblies of God church, the Token Post Mill. And he says, when I told you that, you chuckled. I appreciate your exposition of the Word of Faith movement and wanted to share an incident with you. An incident that shows that the abuses are not simply a recent phenomenon. I had a wife named Elizabeth who died in 1991, and she had two older sisters who both died as children. The older of the two daughters suffered from a hole in the septum of her heart. Today, this is operable. Her family was living in California, and Oral Roberts was holding a healing crusade in Los Angeles. And my parents were desperate. The desperate parents took 12-year-old Manalita to this event to be prayed for by Mr. Roberts. While in her father's arms in the meeting, she died and went to be with the Lord. This happened while waiting in line to be prayed for by Oral Roberts. The day after her death, representatives of the Oral Roberts ministry, including an attorney, called on the grieving parents. They came with a document for them to sign, which would have bound them under penalty of financial forfeit not to talk about her death at the crusade, not to tell anyone that she had died while waiting for Oral Roberts to pray for her. There was a lot of emphasis placed on public image. Don't tell anyone about this, or you'll be liable for damages. God's manifest presence in strength and assurance in the midst of suffering could have pervaded the event. Instead, the posture of the ministry overwhelmed any sense of God's presence in the situation. Well, Elizabeth's parents suffered the loss of their three daughters, two as children and one at age 31, and I cannot imagine the pain of those losses. I know what it was to lose my wife. Yet I know that in the midst of this suffering that he anoints my head with oil, birthing true ministry that flows from broken compassion and faith in him who called me. May God richly bless you. And the letter is signed by Art. Ministries that promise what they cannot perform pray on very desperate, vulnerable people. And I have done a lot of research over the years about these healing evangelists. And the one thing that I find out over and over again is that while they claim resurrections and healings of every sort, when you check it out, you find out that it doesn't check out. Now, am I saying that God cannot heal? Or am I even saying that God does not heal? No. What I am saying is that healing is conspicuous by its absence in the healing revivals of these so-called ministries. And I guess that Oral Roberts and his association and their actions make sense. Think about it. If your business is creating the perception of healing, then you've got to protect your business. The truth of the matter is, this is show business. This is not God's business. In this world, we will get sick. And God doesn't even answer the why question. We lost a preborn child. We don't know why. But God teaches us to trust Him in the midst of our whys. And Job put it plainly, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. God has given us enough information to know that we can trust Him. In the meantime, all of us will suffer one tragedy or another. The life God has promised us is not a panacea. The life God has promised us is peace in the midst of the storms, and an ultimate panacea and a new heaven and a new earth. I've mentioned it before, but the text is operative. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for then the old order of things will pass away and all things will become new. In the meantime, we trust Him in the midst of our pains. I've written about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can order via the phone, 888-7000-CRI, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Listen up. If you're hanging on, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, I will continue taking your calls in the next hour. If you're calling in, here's the time to press this number on your phone, 888-ASK-HANK. And I'll take your questions in the next hour. So long for now.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.